Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We turn our attention to just two verses in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and I'll read them according to the New International Version, 1984. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. During the course of this year, we've been celebrating, giving thanks to God for 100 years of his blessings upon our Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the synod that runs our college here. And yet during the course of this year, we've experienced the death of four very key pastoral leaders. One of them, we say, had a little bit more of emphasis on the power of the pen. He served as editor of our Lutheran Sentinel for so many years. Another one was known for his missionary zeal, serving for a number of years in Africa, over in Nigeria. Another one, too, was serving as the president of our seminary, training future pastors, especially emphasizing with them the matter of properly dividing law and gospel. And, of course, not too far back here now, another one died, and that was the former president of our synod who served for 28 years, President George Orvik. And he was often known for wanting to emphasize that evangelical character for our church body, the good news-bringing part of it, the great news of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. The writer of Hebrews says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you." One of those leaders, of course, that we're concentrating on in the Lutheran Church at this time of the year, too, would be, of course, Dr. Luther. None of us had him speak to us directly, personally, that way. And yet, think of how millions of people have benefited from the writings of Dr. Luther. And you, too, many here, would have been trained in his Luther's Small Catechism. And what did Luther say about that catechism? Well, he said this: "It is the Bible of the lay people. It is the body of Christian doctrine which every Christian must know in order to be saved. Therefore, we should diligently impress it upon our youth." But what in particular are we to remember about these leaders who spoke the word of God to us? Well, the writer of Hebrews responds right away and says, consider the outcome of their way of life. It's interesting that two chapters right ahead of this, we have that famous chapter of the heroes of faith in the Bible, many of whom, of course, even not only were persecuted, but actually had to suffer death for their confession of the true faith. Abraham is talked about quite a bit in Hebrews chapter 11, And God blessed Abraham with many wonderful things in life that way, materially and so on. But what does it say about Abraham as he's set up as an example of all of those saints that have gone before, all of the believers in the Messiah that have gone before? Well, it says this about Abraham, that it says he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. In other words, he was not looking at here's my life so much at all, but rather he was looking for the New Jerusalem, the home above, and he knew that through faith in the Savior. Remember what Jesus said about him: Abraham believed, Abraham saw my day and he believed. Remember, it says that in the New Testament. You may have your own list of heroes of faith for your personal life. Jesus says this about how important it is to know the truth, and think of the people who have led us in the way of truth throughout our lives personally. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Kind of curious, if we were to go around the room here today among the students that are here, who was it that might have influenced you to come to this Christian college so that you'd be around the Word of God regularly, have opportunities like this right here in chapel too, to grow stronger and stronger in your faith? Was it a mom or dad? Was it a grandparent? Maybe it was a high school guidance counselor. Some pastor, teacher, maybe. Some friend or other relative, and so on. Maybe you didn't come here for any special spiritual reason, but came because you knew there were other great disciplines you wanted to follow that way. Maybe you've even had to change your major while you're here too. But isn't it interesting? God has you right here today. You're right here in this sanctuary listening to the Word of God being proclaimed. God has had you here. And He's used the faithful teachers here on this campus, and not just religion teachers, faithful teachers who are driving you to see the most important truth of all, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. There's no higher truth than that. And the interesting thing about that truth is it's so personal for you and me. This means that Christ is for you and for me and for a world out there that is all perishing in sin, and we would have been right in there with it if God had not touched us through teachers of the Word of God that way and the waters of baptism. But He has had us hold on to what Jesus Himself said about Himself. Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. That is the outcome of the way of life for those saints who have gone before us. And that is the outcome, the meaningful outcome for the way of life for you and me right now, but also, of course, culminating in eternity that way, the heavenly Jerusalem above. Remember these leaders that have taught us the Word of God in the home, in the church, in institutions such as Bethany here? Because they provide a pattern for us to emulate. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say that we are to imitate their faith. Now, the imitation of their faith here is in two senses, we could say. Certainly it is the personal matter, the subjective issue, about being deeply committed as they were in their hearts. And that only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit working through water in the Word and through sacrament of the altar and so on, keeping us in the faith. But deeply committed to knowing Jesus as our own personal Savior. And yet at the same time, we can't help but see and especially think of this time of the year at Reformation time of how imitating the faith is also in the objective sense when it comes to these leaders who God has used in our life to teach us the Word of God. Those who have gone before us faithfully confessing, boldly confessing the truths set forth in Scripture, that public confession of the faith. This is the faith that saves. This is the faith that is always centered on what is most important of all. And if it's not there, people are being misled. Because at the heart and center of it all is what Hebrews says right here, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the true God and true man, and He's never changing. He is from everlasting to everlasting. How are we doing, though, when it comes to this kind of ponderous remembering? Well, if you're like me, we have to admit that sometimes we only do this at special occasions. Is it Reformation time or so on? Or certain times in our life, maybe as we think of a reunion and so on. But so often we can forget to think and thank our God for having put people in our lives who have had a tremendous influence for us when it comes to the Christian faith. Could it be that we're so interested in kind of finding out the latest about all the things that come through social media and all this other stuff, and wonderful things there, but it gets us so busy about a lot of other things that we maybe don't take the time to really do this ponderous remembering the leaders who have spoke the Word of God to us, spoken? Could it be that we might think, well, I got a lot of things going on in my life right now, because a lot of exciting things too, or maybe it's not so exciting for you. Maybe some real pressing concerns you have there. and think, well, that'll come later in my life. There'll be time for that ponderous reflection that way on those leaders who have spoken the word of God to us. Well, we have to admit that we do lack so often in our lives on a day-by-day basis this type of remembering. And it's interesting that when King David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, there, for the first time, he told the people very strongly, he said, remember the wonders God has done. Remember the wonders God has done. As we hang our heads in shame, as we think about our lack so often of not always doing this kind of remembering, isn't it extremely interesting for us of this fact that while we have our lack of remembering, it has really been overcome by God's wonderful lack of remembering. Because in the book of Isaiah, God speaks directly and to his people and he says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. What a promise. And you know why that promise can only be and was fulfilled and is certainly fulfilled to the end of time. It is because the Messiah, God's own Son, Jesus Christ, came as Isaiah had prophesied and all the prophets of old. And Jesus Christ has come in the flesh to take on your sins and mine, and to live a holy life, absolutely perfect in every commandment before God in your place and mine. He goes to the cross of Calvary there, and he lays down his life as the ultimate payment for the sins of the world, so that in God's hall of justice, you and I can know that it will never be brought up to us about our various sins, including our sins of lack of remembering and thanking God and so on. We can be assured they'll never be brought up because we have an advocate. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it say about him that our leaders also have been directing us to? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So friends, we need never doubt God's eternal love for us and his plenary forgiveness of sins for each and every one of us. You know, remembering, and it's getting harder for me too as I'm getting older, remembering though is a wonderful thing. It is a tremendous gift from our God. Yeah, we know that there can be bad memories out there too, and we know that so many we know today that are living longer in life too, losing memories and so on. But to do this kind of remembering here, this ponderous remembering of the leaders who have spoken the word of God to us, is what lifts us up every day and carries us through and fills us with happiness. And it is with very good reason, dear friends, that we end up always at the funerals of Christians who have gone before us. And think of the people who've had influence in our lives that have gone before us, where we end up at the reading of the obituary and we say, may God bless the memory of Dr. Luther. May God bless the memory of Pastor so-and-so or Teacher so-and-so. May God bless the memory of Mother so-and-so, Grandma, Grandpa so-and-so, Father so-and-so. Oh, Lord God, use each of us here today to live in such a way that we become that same kind of blessing to the next generation. To you alone be the glory. Amen.